Weber 901.
And you know what the reason for that?
Ellie's return after a long break.
Feel at home.
This is after our Super Bowl break, back Tuesday morning.
Where I come from, they don't say, they don't call it jail. They say, he's in yeshiva.
Savor mitzvot.
You may want to hold
mitzvah
hotel.
Number 94. Keeping your word.
Everything else was not taped, so you didn't say it.
Okay, let's go. Let's learn.
Keeping your word is keeping your word is not a good translation for what the mitzvah is. But as you'll see, I struggle to figure out even what the mitzvah is. And if I, you know, if I were a regular person, my return shiur would have been like just an easy slam dunk thing. But I don't get the big bucks from Bruce for nothing. We're doing it for real. We're going to try to figure out what this mitzvah is. And I'll tell you in the end.
Was that his? He wants more money.
It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that I can say that the Torah and Halacha are like definitively conflicted about. And let's see what it is. Here's the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki tidor neder laHashem Elokecha." If you take a vow, okay. If you take a vow to God, lo ta'acher l'shalomo. What does that mean? Lo ta'acher l'shalomo. Anybody?
Don't delay
in paying your vow. Now, without looking at anything, if I ask you, what's a reasonable, let's assume the pasuk means I pledged $1 million, you know, to the shul. Lo ta'acher l'shalmo, don't delay in paying. What would your guess be? So what's a reasonable time frame? Or is it all contingent on, you know,
the terms of your vow?
But I don't say anything.
Or immediately.
But I say, I don't say anything. I basically pledge $100 to Chasdei Efrat with no time frame. I'm just saying, what do we think is reasonable without halachas? What would you think is reasonable? You know,
a week, a month.
Right, you're saying
the three regular.
But that's, you're making that up because you know this is halacha. You wouldn't say, you would say a year.
Well, no.
Don't talk like a. Stop. Why can't you do it my way? I'm not asking you about a car, but I'm asking you now. Huh. Somebody says to you, you're raising money. You know what? You're raising money for the, what do we call this group? The Efrat English Kollel Rosh Chodesh Breakfast Fund, which we desperately need. Okay? So somebody says to you, you know what? I'll give 100 shekel. So do you go to him the next day and say, where's your 100 shekel? Good, a week? What's a reasonable time frame?
Before the time you need it. Go back before Rosh Chodesh. You got to raise
okay, money. So all I want to point out is the pasuk says, lo ta'achel l'shalmo. Don't delay. I'm saying, I just want to point out, I think it's open in terms of...
When a guy gets a million shekel, he pledges money for that.
Right?
What does he mean by that? He says, I promise I'll give...
So I'm with you. I would think like a month seems like a reasonable period of time in which people get their finances together, Because God will be doresh. Right? You made a pledge. God expects you to pay it up. And if you don't, v'haya b'chachet. V'haya b'chachet is kind of an interesting phrase. It will be with you, you know... It doesn't say you're prohibited from. It just says, you know, it will be a chait for you. Now, v'chi techdal lindor, lo tiye b'chachet. Let's say you don't promise, you don't swear, you don't vow. Says the pasuk, don't worry. That's not a bad thing. Which is where, we'll, in the end, we'll talk about this, kind of this conflicted view. Are you supposed to take vows? Are you supposed to promise to do things? Or are you supposed to, you know, say b'li neder? But here's the pasuk we need to talk about. Motza sifasecha tishmar va'asisa. Anybody? Motza sifasecha.
Whatever comes out of your mouth.
Excellent. From the word, let's say, it's, yeah, the word comes out of your mouth. Tishmar. You should observe va'asita and you'll do. But then it gets modified. So you might think this is a broad statement, which I think as a value it is. People are supposed to keep their word.
Extenuating circumstances.
But leave that for a second. Motzas vasech tishma vasisa ka'asher nadarta la'Hashem Elokecha nedava ka'asher dibarta b'ficha. If you were noder, I don't know what the right noder is, to promise or to swear.
To vow.
Okay. To vow. Vow is a better word. Thank you. Right? You have to keep your vow. That's the mitzvah we're doing today. It's not really keeping your word. It's keeping your vow. Now behind that is, what does it mean to keep your vow? And should you have vowed in the first place?
No.
Why give not? Us a chance. Why not? Give us a chance. We just started. Okay?
Well, are you using Hashem's name when you're saying, or is this, that's something totally different, swearing?
So it's related. It's a okay. good question. It's okay. related. What does it mean? Well, let me ask you this. Is there such a thing as a neder that doesn't use Hashem's name? The answer is yes, there is. Mm-hmm. But it has to be a kind, you have to use words like karban, hektesh. Mm-hmm. You know, there are two kinds of things. There is, and we'll see this in the Rambam, two kinds of vows you could really make halachically. One is, I promise to give something, to do something. Mm-hmm. The other is, this thing is usur on me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I take a vow, I will not eat a fruit for 30 days. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating fruits. I'm not talking about netaravai. There's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I take something that was mutter, and I make it usur. And that isur now, it's like basar b'chalav.
Right.
Because I have to keep my vow. Those are, broadly speaking, the two types of vows that we have to discuss. And they're different, but they're related. I didn't want to make the whole shir about that. It's Machlokas, Rambam, and Ramban. I didn't think that was so interesting to us. But those are the two broad categories. Okay? Now, what does Rashi say? Rashi on the post says, Motzos falsecha tishmo avalasisa, litain ase alota ase. Motzos falsecha tishmo avalasisa. It's clear that you're not allowed to violate your vow. That's a different pasuk. Rashi says here the Torah is coming to put an asay on top of the los asay. That if you keep your vow, not only are you not violating it, but you get a positive mitzvah asay of keeping your vow. There is a very similar pasuk later on, it's actually before, the pasuk is in Matos or Maaseh, I forget where, in number 2. Here you have, Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem, person who took a vow, oh, he shavah shvua, or he swore, le'esor isar al nafsho. Le'esor isar al nafsho means to make something asur. Okay, the thing wasn't, you know, but now you want to make it asur. Lo yachel dvaro. He is not allowed to violate his words. That's the lo taseh, lo yachel dvaro. Yachel, if you look in the Rashi right underneath it, what do you think the word yachel means? From what word? Yeah, but where does that come from? So Rashi says, Lo yachel dvaro kimo lo yichalel dvaro lo yaaseh dvarav chulin. It all comes from the word chulin. Chulin is profane. You know, it's something you shouldn't do. So therefore, Lo yachel dvaro, rather, back in the pasuk, kichol hayotzei mipiv yaaseh. So, classic case in the Torah where it looks like there are two psukim that say the exact same thing. Which isn't terrible. Sometimes you have people say, you know, lav or alav bishnei lavim, that if you do it, it's like you did two things wrong, or to give you more credit. But here you have two psukim that narrowly focused say, if you take a vow, that vow, if you fulfill that vow, it's a mitzvah saseh. If you violate that vow, it's a mitzvah slos. You're over on a lo saseh. And that is a mitzvah doraisa. So, what we have to do is figure out exactly what the technicalities are of the mitzvah, and then I'd like to back up from it and then just talk philosophically, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I'll put it on the table now. Is there a difference between a person getting up and saying, you know, it's after Yom Kippur, I struggle with tefillah b'tzibur, I'm going to take a neder, that for the next month, I'm going to go to minyan 3 times a day. And I do it with Shemu Malchus, I don't do it with Shemu Malchus, but I do it in a way that makes clear, I express it out loud. Okay? Good or bad? What do we think?
What are you looking at, sir?
Huh?
It's good, he's got to go to shul 3 times a day.
Okay, but you think, if in the end he goes to shul 3 times a day, it was better that he did it than that he didn't do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, same example, but different. I struggle with my weight. So I take a vow that I will not eat cake for 30 days. Same position or not?
Same position.
Really?
Yeah, why would you think of it?
There's no kedusha in keeping your weight.
No, in one case, you had a hard time going to the minyan, so now
making a vow to do something.
Yeah.
Correct, but in one case, I'm using God for a religiously valuable thing.
Well, being healthy, you want to maintain your health. There's a religious value in that.
Okay, fine.
I want to play golf 3 times a day.
So okay, so you're arguing that my example isn't silly enough because right. K could be
it's your health.
Fine. So it's golf.
Fake is holy.
So right. So it's golf. So it's you know I'm not going to go into this guy's house for 30 days. Take a silly example. I'm not going to go.
Maybe there's a problem with it.
I'm going to go bowling. At, you know, I need to get better at bowling. I take a vow to bowl every day for 30 days.
You don't
same position.
No, think about it.
You don't take vows for that anything.
So you're saying that's embarrassing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get him involved
this is a
in
vow without God's name, or it didn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Why would not matter? If you just say, you know, you tell your I promise
but it's really important.
I'm walking the dog every night.
I promise myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean why is that a problem to say if it motivates everyone you walk the dog and then so you, and you say I promise to do it.
Okay,
so,
fine. You do it with God's name. I promise to do it is not in that.
Don't
there.
Bring God's name into it.
Huh?
Don't bring God's name into
it. Okay, so you're
like
saying
that.
It's not okay. Let's look at the Rambam. Okay, here we go. Number 3. Says the Rambam the Sefer HaMitzvos. Number 94. Vahamitzvah tzadi dalid. He shet sivanu lekayem kol mashikibalnu al nafshenu. Okay, that's pretty clear. We are commanded as a mitzvah d'oraisa in the Torah to keep our word, kol mashi kibalo al nafshenu b'milat shfua v'neder utzdaka v'karban v'zuladze. Now let's try to work that through. If I did it through a shfua or a neder, so let's say, you know, reini noder that I'm going to go to shul 3 times a day for a month, right? Reini nishpa, you know, B'shem Hashem. I don't say the shame Hashem. I just, yeah, but I use words that really make it serious and that you take it seriously. Or tzedakah, right? I pledge to give something to tzedakah. V'korban. I'm going to give something as a korban. V'zulatz and anything like it. Now I admit I'm not sure what anything like it means. You know, but it's clear what we're talking about are using words that are serious, words that could be understood by the halacha as having halachic value, as opposed to. I would really, you know, all things being equal, I would really like to, or I hope, you know, I would like. That's not a shvua, but that it's still something that's of value. Here we go. You have to keep what comes out of your mouth. Says the Rambam, it's true that there is a drasha for every word in this pasuk. Amnam hakavana hamagat mikol ma shezakar zacharti lecha shemitzvat asehu lekayem kol ma sheyivatei haadam mechiyuv al atzmo beezo davar sheyihye min hadvarim. The fundamental mitzvat asei is to keep your word. Now again, to keep your word, it doesn't mean if you tell your wife, you know, I'll be home for dinner at 6, that you're over a mitzvah d'oraisa if you're not home. But it's clear that if you try to express something in the form of a neder or a shvua or a cherem or a kol, you know, we basically use that whole thing when we do hatar sedarim, bein bilshon, neder, shvua, cherem, konam, isur, kabbalah, or whatever. But we know what it means. We know when we do it. I think it would cover a case in English where you say I swear. I really think it would. Halacha l'maisa.
So every year we're going to be canceling them, the ones that we messed up on. It's kind of nice to know that when you make it.
Well, it doesn't work if you swear to do something for the next month, the next Yom Kippur. It's not going to help you.
Yeah.
Right? That just helps you to, you know, the things you weren't paying attention to that might last forever. Right. But what we're talking about is, well, the truth is, there is another thing. Let's say you take a, you know, you're in a fight with your neighbor, and you know, I swear I'm never going to walk into your house again. Okay, and then 2 months later you make up, and your children is a bar mitzvah. So, in that case, it's clear you have to be matir neder. You have to go to 3 people to a beis din. You know, you have to explain to them that when you took, there are things you could do. You should never rely on hataras adarim on erev Yom Kippur. Because that's much more formulaic. If Erev Yom Kippur, you have something in mind that you did, you should tell the Beis Din. There's no question about that. But let leave that. Let's go on.
Would you say this Rambam, even what you've read until now, would relate to business, to a verbal contract?
I don't think it would.
No.
My personal opinion is I don't think it would. I looked for a long time. Where is there in the Torah? This is limited, you know. I think there's a difference, and it now's as good a time as any to talk about it, between a mitzvah and a value. Right? Like, one of the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. Right? Chotamo emet, that God keeps his word. That's not a mitzvah. That's a religious value. I could not find any place in the Torah. It's true, midvar sheker, sheker tirchak, Rishonim try to build it. But it's clear
that's
that...
That's just Bezdin.
So they try to say, if it's Bezdin, so probably, you know, you're absolutely right, that the context of that mitzvah is Bezdin. So there's a difference. I think if you looked in... you look in the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs, where is the mitzvah to keep your word? It's not there. Now, that's what we're doing, but the Rambam limits it. You asked me the question: would that cover, you know, a verbal contract in business? I'm answering you. I believe narrowly defined, it would not. It would cover a vow, an oath, anything used with those words, with Hashem Hashem. But I don't think it would cover if you told a guy, yeah, if you do this, I'll do that. It makes you a bad person. It makes you a bad Jew. But I don't think it's a violation.
Okay, if you want to define the Rambam narrowly, so what does it? It only is talking about kedusha.
No, it's covering. If you say to the guy, I swear to come to your
house. Well, what's a verbal contract? I promise I'm going to do this. You do this, I'm going to do this.
But do you normally use the word promise? I'm just saying. I'm not sure that
that's the.
I understand the contract. That's exactly what you're not saying.
In a normal case, you say to this guy, you know what? If you drop this off at my house tomorrow, you know, on Wednesday, I'll drive you to Yerushalayim.
And then you say, "Bleh neder."
You don't say a promise. You don't say anything.
I'm talking about a real business contract.
You can make yourself. What about heat of the moment? The example you gave to me.
Right. So I think if
I obligate myself to do something, and I'm, you know, I sign on the dotted line. So you don't have a dotted
line. I don't know the answer. You know what? Give me a chance to read some more Rambams, then we'll come back. I'm not sure the answer to your question. Okay? I mean, religiously, as a value, is it clear to all of us what the answer is? Of course it is. Right? You don't have to define, like the Ramban would say, there are things that the Torah doesn't have to define because they're so obvious in the context of the Torah. Right? The Ramban is Valsita Hayashar Vatov. That's a catch-all. So people will say, well, how do you know that that's really what the Torah wants? Sometimes it's a fair question. In your case, it's not a fair question. I signed the contract. I gave the guy my word, right? Could there be any doubt that the Torah wants me to? So, you know, for narrowly religious people, they say, well, show me where. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's almost an insulting question. I'll give you a funny example, but it's a good one. There's a sefer called the Dor Revi'i. He was the fourth generation from, I think, the Chassam Sofer. That's why he was the grandson of the Chassam. He called it Dor Revi'i. Rav Amital used to love the Sefer, because it had really cool things in it. So, he says, this is a good example, when I was in Yeshiva 100 years ago, was the time there was this plane crashed in the Andes. Okay,
yeah, and, they
and the people for like 40 days survived. Yeah. How? Because they ate the dead bodies from the plane crash. Yeah. So, big discussion in Yeshiva, because nothing else to talk about in life. If you were on a plane and the plane crashed, and you had a choice between eating the non-kosher meat, mm-hmm. A nevela. There was a cow on the plane and it died in the plane crash. It's a nevela. It's an Issa Doraisa. Do you eat Betsy the cow or do you eat Chaim your Chavrusa? Who's dead?
Betsy.
No, but here's the thing. Cannibalism is not an Issa Doraisa. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says that. Let me finish. Right? Okay. Nevela is. So, whole discussion in the. So, the Do Revi'i has this. Oh. And the Dor Revi'i says, it's fascinating, says there are things that are so obviously wrong that the Torah never bothered to tell you. If you can't eat an avela, of course you can't eat Chaim your Chavrusa. Okay? But it's an interesting machlok. He has another example. He says, in the Torah it says you can't cross-dress. Mm-hmm. Right? Lo silbat. Where does it say in the Torah you can't walk naked down the street? So he says there are things that are, now you'll say to me, but how come murder? I can't answer all the questions. There are obvious things that are usher in the Torah. Right. But I'm very taken with this idea that some things are so obvious. Okay. Like keeping your word is so obvious.
It's a great answer. It doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work. But whatever, we're big boys.
What's that? Well, I wonder.
Okay, can we go on? Back inside.
Yes.
Back inside. We're number three.
Mm-hmm.
And says the Rambam, third line from the bottom after that, V'hinei nichpal hatzivui zo v'hu amaro k'chol ayosim yipiv yaseh. Here's the Rambam saying, I know there's two psukim, but it's just a kefel of the same iser. Don't think it's a different iser. Kolomar, shisham hit ba'er hadikduk lahazhir ha'adam la'asot hadavar shechayav nafsho ve'yiftor atzmo kishi yipolo sofek b'mashamar. And that tells you how you have to do it and how you would get out of it. How you get out of it is either hafaras nedarim or hataras nedarim, which we're not doing right now. Maybe we'll do that next week. Now, the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah was a little unclear. So let's look at the Rambam in the Yana Chazaka, the first Rambam Hilchos Nedarim. In number four, the Rambam says, "Haneder nechlak lishtei machlokot." There are two types of neders, of vows. Hachelek harishon hu sheyesor al atzmo dvarim hamutarim lo. The first vow is to take something, the piece of cake, which was otherwise mutter to you, and to make it into a chefza of iser. And by the way, just as a halachic concept, it's fascinating that you could do that, right? What you're doing is you're turning an object, a permissible object, into a prohibited object, simply by the power of your words. Okay? Kigon sheyoma peirot medina plonit asurim alai kol shloshim yom ola olam. Right? It could be either forever or for a limited period of time. The I'm so angry that Italy voted for the UNESCO thing. I am not. Do they have fruit?
Tomatoes.
Italy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. I am not. Any imports from Italy are also on me like psar chazir. Okay. Or, min ploni mi perota. Okay. I'm sorry. Min ploni mi perota olam, or all tomatoes. O perot elu asrin olam, or these particular types. He says, bichal lashon sheye esor harezin neesar bohen. Okay, in whatever way you do it, if you say that they're usher to me, they become usher to you. Min haTorah, va'af al pi she'ein sham shvua klal, v'lo hazkarat shem v'lo kinui. You didn't say, I swear to never eat those tomatoes. I swear b'shem Hashem to never eat those tomatoes. All you said was, these tomatoes are usher on me, let's say, like Bisar Chazir, like Basar B'chalav. It was clear exactly what you meant, and you expressed it out loud. So the first chiddush is, those things now become treif for you. It's a fascinating thing, but you're allowed to do that. It becomes an Issur D'oraisa. Okay, and he says, Va'al zen ne'mar batorah, le'esor isor al nafsho, she'ye'esor al atzmo dvarim amutarim, that you're allowed to do that. V'chein im amar harei hein alai isur. Right, you just say it's asur on me. Hare elu asurim. V'chelek ze hu she'ani korei oto nidrei isur. Says the Rambam, that's why I call nidrei isur. I made something that was mutter into something that was asur. So the Rambam didn't say it yet, but obviously the first thing is that you're allowed to do that. The second thing is that it works. And then the third thing, obviously, is then if you eat it, it's like you ate treif. It's like you ate basar b'chalav. It's a cookie that your wife baked, and it's completely kosher. It doesn't matter.
And you'll get punished for it, like
it's an issur. It's like you ate basar b'chalav.
You made an issur on yourself, and now you
lo yachel dvaro. You. It's just that you always knew it.
Yes.
But here the interesting thing: it's not keeping your word in this context. The magic of halacha here is it's not that you violated your word. Is that you turned this tomato into treif.
Yeah. Isn't there a dichotomy between a vow that must be accompanied by tshuva and a vow that is not? For example, a crude example, a man is having an extramarital relationship and he vows to end it. But that vow must be accompanied by tshuva, mustn't it?
Yeah, but this is unrelated to any. This is not a value judgment. This is tomatoes.
No, but I mean there are vows that have to be.
We have to do one at a time. I'm saying the Rambam is trying to categorize them. The first thing he says is there is a type of vow that we'll do it in like lumdisha terms. It's not begavra. It's bechefza. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you keeping your word. When you say I will never ever again. These glasses are now usher to me.
That makes no sense.
What's the difference?
Why would you?
Because God has given man the power of speech. Okay. And the power of speech allows you, this is the Chiddush, to turn an object that was permitted into an object of Isser. It's an amazing thing. And then when you violate it, the Isser is not so much that you violated what you said. The Isser is more that you're eating treif.
What do you do when it contradicts Torahs? You say, my wife is usher to me, although you owe her conjugal rights. And now you've gone against the Torah. So it's not the same as Buzzkill.
It's not the same.
Because when the thing doesn't work with Torah.
Yes. So that's called Masna Mashikasa Batorah. That's a big machlok, because generally Paskin, your vow is invalid. Because there are things.
So it's not like Buzzkill completely. Buzzkill, you can't say, well.
Say a different way. It's not your power to make things. See, but again. It's not. That's a bad example, because right now the Rama is trying to do this in category, you know, in categories. Here he's saying, your example would have to be that I made my wife asur bahana to me, right. Not that I took a nether not to have relations with her.
Right.
I made my wife asur bahana to me.
Right.
So for the most, so there are limits on your ability to do that.
Matzah before Pesach, you can't asur matzah to yourself.
I don't know. You might have to be matur nether in that case. The wife thing is easier, because before Pesach, when you make that vow. Something wrong with that vow. I could right now say, I'm not going to eat, for the next 30 days, matzah is usur to me as if it was Pesach. That's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now the question is, what are you going to do? I'm sorry, what are you going to do if you take a vow saying matzah is usur me as if it was chametz? So for the most part, I think we passing in those cases, you can't be masna al mashikas of batorah. You can't, but again.
So you're saying your words are limited to at least not go against the Torah. In some fashion.
Yes, I think that's a fair statement.
So therefore, anytime you make this neder, where you, because you can cancel it in front of a beit din, you can't.
But that's
cancel
a bad. You have to be careful, because it's a serious business. Meaning, it's true that the Torah gives you a process by which you can go to beis din, but it's not a guarantee.
No, you really regret it. The case with your neighbor. That was a bar mitzvah. Okay,
but
you're sorry. You wish you hadn't said it, but they can't. You can't tell the bus of a chalav. You know, I happen to love Basav HaKhalav, but I'd like to cancel that neder. I mean,
because it's not a neder. I understand. But the insight here is that God trusts man enough to allow us to make things usur as if God made them usur. Yes, it's true. There are carve-outs to that. But they're carve-outs. The rule is the rule.
From here? We're seeing the origin of that.
No, this is not necessarily our pasuk, but this is the first Raman Hilchos Nedarim. Okay. Now, so the Rambam is saying, what's a neder? A neder is you taking an object that was previously mutter and making it usur. That's one type of neder.
Why didn't you just perish from
Nazir? You're right. I'm saying there's a lot of sources in the Torah for this. You know, the greatness of the Rambam is that he doesn't bother you with all the places it comes from. He's just giving you the rule. Halacha bet. We have to do the second part of this. Halacha bet, says the Rambam. Va'achelek hasheni, the second type of neder you could take. V'hu sheyichayev atzmo bikorban she'eino chayav bo. You accept upon yourself an obligation to bring a korban that you otherwise were not obligated to bring. Kigon, sheyomar harei alai. For example, if you got up in the middle of the night on Friday night, God forbid you forgot, you turn the light on. B'shogeg, you're chayav to bring a chatas. You don't have a neder to bring a chatas. The Torah was mechayiv you to bring a chatas.
You can't bring a chatas, isn't it? So making a
chatas. Shabbos
b'shogeg.
Okay, you want to argue with me that it's not really a doraisa?
No. I don't want to argue it's not a doraisa. I've just been learning Gemara in Sanhedrin that you should not kindle.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, bad example. Okay, you accidentally watered your lawn on Friday. You got up, you forgot. Every night when you can't sleep, you go outside and you water the lawn. You forgot it's Friday night.
He fished outside.
No. Kigon sheyomar harei alai lahavi ola. Right, you volunteered to bring an ola. Oh harei alai lahavi shlamim o mincha. Hare behema za or. So either hare alai, I am obligated to bring a karban, or hare behema za ola ashlamim. Or you go outside to your yard where Mary the lamb is sitting, and you go, Mary is now going to be brought, Mary is now ashlamim. Okay? Vaha omer hare alai, hu hanikra neder, v'haomer harezo hu hanikra nedava. They're just different words. Harei alai means I have to do it. Harezo means this thing is. I've turned this thing into hektish. V'hanedava v'haneder mimin echad hu. They're both pretty much the same. Ela shehanedarim chayavim ba'acharutam, unedavot ein chayavim ba'acharutam. It's a technical difference, but it's interesting. If I go outside and I say, this lamb is a karban, if the lamb gets hit by a car or lightning or something else happens to it, I don't have to replace the lamb. As I said, this lamb is a shlamim. If I say, I am chayav to bring a shlamim, then if I'm on my way to the Beis HaMikdash and my lamb gets run over by a car, I got to go buy another lamb. Because it's my personal obligation, it's not that this object is. So the Ram says there are two types of nidarim. One is nidrei isur, I turn this thing into something asur. The other is nidrei hekdesh, I turn this profane object into something holy. And now, no, not yet. Now, last halacha in the Rambam. Halacha dalet. This is us. Mitzvat asei shel Torah sheyikayem adam shvuato o nidro. Having done this, having said, you know, that I won't eat tomatoes, having said that I will bring this lamb to the Beis HaMikdash, I now have a mitzvat asei to fulfill my words. Bein shehayam min nidrei isur, bein shehayam min nidrei hekdesh. Shenemar motzas fasecha tishma va'asisa ka'ashen nadarta. Says the Rambam, both psukim tell us the same mitzvah. The mitzvah is when you make a neder, you are obligated min haTorah to keep your word. Now, coming back to your question, I don't know the answer.
It's very clear. I think you made it very clear by reading this.
Really? What's the answer to your question?
It's a very, very narrow definition. It's only talking about kedusha, dvarim shebikdusha. In other words, if you look at the three halachot that you brought, the first halacha is she'esor atzmo dvarim amutar.
Those are tomatoes. That's not
dvarim shebikdusha. Okay, so that's the exception to the rule. You can make something asur. That's not keeping your word. It's keeping your word to yourself. Oh, it's only to do with yourself. You're making
worried.
Something asur for yourself. Halacha bet is obviously a neder or nedava, which is only talking about bet mikdash. And halacha dalet.
But halacha dalet is just that's
is
the mitzvah.
You've got to keep the previous two. So
I wish I was sure.
But there's nothing here about keeping your word towards other people.
There's nothing here. But again, I want to be clear. I brought you three halachas in the Rambam, all from Hilchos Nedarim. There's also Hilchos Shvuos. There are other places. I'm less here.
Specifically, okay. There's nothing to do with other people.
Okay,
but most people don't make it in the Oaths and Vows when discussing these issues. About keeping your
word. But look,
word.
I think it's beyond discussion that if you signed a contract.
Right, that's why I don't think that says.
That you have to keep your word.
That's
right?
What I'm talking about, just more in the vernacular.
You've done business with fruit people, obviously.
No, that's not fair.
No, excuse me.
That's not fair.
No,
the fact that there are slimy frum people doesn't change the halacha.
No, but the slimy frum person is always going to find a reason. Psychologically, he's going to be convinced. He didn't have to keep his word because something happened. That you didn't keep your word.
Okay, but
he'll find a psychological reason to be absolutely convinced.
The most successful people in business are the people who you can trust. People who give you a handshake and give you their word.
And
people do business with them over and over again.
And isn't
again.
That what
and
we're
people,
like, maybe that's what we're talking about? I think.
That's not
exactly.
Right.
Those people then become president of the United States because their word is their bond.
It doesn't rise to
watch
the duration.
Maybe not.
Sir.
No, it just it's not what
Trump,
God wants of me.
Does that okay. Trump the mitzvah?
No,
stop.
Okay,
let's do.
No, but are we talking about just a general? Keeping you in the context of not.
That's
not
what I warned you at the beginning. That's what I warned you at the beginning. Let me talk. That's what I warned you at the beginning. There's the narrow definition of halacha and the narrow definition of the mitzvah. Uh-huh. And then there's what does it mean to me? Right? There are plenty of things that are not mitzvahs in the Torah, that are values in the Torah. And as we'll see, the reverse is also true. We're about to see that making a neder might not be such a good thing. Yeah. Right. But this is something. This is something that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch.
I'm going to meet you at the coffee shop at 5 p.m. and they show up, and then you decide. Eh.
Right.
So you just no reason. So isn't so that going against something?
You didn't
like
swear.
Yes.
No, you didn't swear. Clearly, you didn't keep your word, and you have no.
Again,
reason.
We're having two no, separate. We're having two don't separate conversations. Plan, right? Of course, it is. The Talmud Torah. We want to understand what the mitzvah is. Is it clear to me that a value that God wants me to have is to keep my word? Absolutely. Does it make me a bad Jew if I don't keep my word? Absolutely. That may not be part of this mitzvah. It could be true anyway, but it may not be part of this mitzvah.
It's not. It's the, well, according to Rambam,
again, you say that. I'm less sure. Well, let's look at the chinuch. Let's look because this, let's look at the chinuch. Number five. The chinuch is mishar sheh mitzvah. It's a similar mitzvah, but not exactly the same. He says, "Lefi she'ein ra'ui lo la'adam sheyit atzel b'mashen nadar la'asot mitzvah." The chinuch is more focused on the time frame. He says, you know, you promise to give the shul $100. Now, it's a year later. You know, the chinuch says, if you promise, don't be lazy. Ki yadua bein b'nei adam. Right? Your taxes, you're not going to be late on. Laws of the land, you keep, you know, you live by the time frame. Says the chinuch, forget the halacha. If you take a neder, do it tomorrow. Do it right away. Show that it matters to you. And show that, you know, you're at least as excited to keep your word as you are to, you know, to pay other obligations.
But your word to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, he's defining it as Dvarim Shebigdusha.
But you can't read too much into it because it's a different... I just grabbed the chinuch from a different place. That's not a fair diuk. But here's the interesting part. He says, this comes back to what Bruce said before by accident. Umikal makom. Lo tatrichenu ha-Torah la'alot miyad. You live in Cholom. Okay? You took a neder that I'm going to bring an ola. So on the one hand, the Torah wants you to keep your word. On the other hand, the Torah doesn't want it to be the case that you immediately have to get into your car and drive to the Beis HaMikdash. Because...
Or your donkey.
Because the Torah wants... The Chinuch at least is saying the Torah wants to be able to live a life. Presumably, it doesn't want to deter you from bringing karbanos by thinking, you know... Okay, I won the, you know, something great happened to me today, right? You know, the surgery went well. I'm so excited. I say I'm going to bring a carbon toga. Okay, but the chinuch doesn't want, the chinuch says the Torah doesn't want you maybe to not bring the car. If I know that the second I say I'm going to bring a carbon toga, I have to drop everything I'm doing and run to the Beis HaMikdash, otherwise I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
Bruce
so he says,
his mind. You've
got to
give it time.
He says, lo tatrichenu ha-Torah la'alot miyad. Here you get the sense that Nidarim and Nidavot are good, and the Torah says, you know, we don't want to make you do it right away because otherwise you won't take a neder. Aval beregel sheyesh lahem la'alot sham yazhirem l'shalem Nidarim. This is what Bruce mentioned before, which is a thing I think you got wrong. You got it narrowly right, but otherwise not. Why does the Torah, why is the machlokas in the Gemara,
correct.
Why does the Torah in the have a machlokas, and the Gemara is a machlokas, what's Baal Ta'achar? If you took a neder to bring a karban, right, how long do you have?
There you go.
So there you have, you know, the next regel, right. Shalosh regalim.
That's, yes, that's what
now,
most of them.
But that makes complete sense,
yeah,
to talk in terms of regalim,
right.
Because you're talking about schlepping, you know, from Haifa to the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. So the Torah talks about it in terms of, I want to be careful how I say this, but that's why I think we're allowed to translate certain of our vows into the categories in which they make sense. Like, why do we suggest end of the month for, let's say, giving a donation to the shul, or fiscal quarter for companies,
because
that's how you think about
time,
that's how you think about it, right?
Yeah.
But that's how you think. You know, your finances are done on certain cycles, so it makes sense to talk about. If you ask me, you know, you say to somebody makes a vow to the shul. How long should he have? If it was me, I would say until the end of, you know,
okay.
If it's before the 15th, until the end of that month.
Okay.
If it's after the 15th, till the end of the next month. Why? It just strikes me that that's the way people deal with their finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I get out of that. That's what, when you said, you know, shelos regalim, it makes sense for karbonos. I'm not sure that it makes sense for now. Of course, that gets into the age old question: do I really have the right to reinterpret? The answer is Baal Ta'acher is shelos regalim. I don't know.
Also, in those days, it might be Meiser and Truma. It's the agricultural cycle, so it might be the end of the season. Whatever is in the cultural context. If you get a
look, there's no question we have that. You know, Bikurim have to stop being brought, you know, from Shavuos, and you have till, because that's the end of. It's true.
Right.
It's absolutely true. Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing. We've struggled and mightily, because it's a hard thing to try to define what the mitzvah is and define the parameters of the mitzvah. But we've touched on also the value behind it. And so it's clear there's a value to keeping your word. But now the question I start with, is there a value to taking a neder in the first place? Are we better off not taking nedarim at all? Either because there's the risk that you'll violate it, or no? We're just not supposed to be using God as some kind of, you know, incentive.
Remember, there's both.
To keep you, because it's disrespectful of God.
Can those both be wrong?
Huh?
You really shouldn't do that. And to use this idea for a neder, to use God's name.
That's from outside. Okay.
We're told not to do that. I just know we're told because you might not keep it. And
so
a big problem.
It's very. You know, I thought I would open up a Shulchan Aruch and I'd give you the answer. I'll bring you. You'll see yourself how conflicted even the Shulchan Aruch is about this issue.
Just a quick question: if you have an issue where you can't, you know, you see, meet this guy at 5 o'clock, you make a big deal out of it. You have a flat tire.
Right.
Now you can jump in a cab, spend $1,000, get there anyway. But it's not reasonable. So are you expected to only? You don't have a phone. You don't have a phone.
No, but it's not. It's
are you only expected to?
That's
reasonable in the context.
Of course,
of
because that's exactly the point. It's not. If you say Hare Alai Ola, I take. Yeah, I think the answer is whatever it costs. You know, often there are no animals. You got to do it. But the, you know, because that's a narrowly defined halacha. You told somebody you would meet them. So I think, you know, a good person, a good religious person asks himself, you know, how significant is my obligation? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I don't think it's the case that you say, look, if it was this job that I always wanted, you know, I had the interview, I've been waiting months for this interview, it's the greatest job in the world. And the answer is, if I got a flat, I would jump into a cab and pay $500 to get there. I don't know that that obligates you then to jump into a cab to meet your friend who you agreed to meet for drinks.
Right.
I really don't think so.
Right.
Now,
right.
You know, each of these things needs to be analyzed. Well, your parents are waiting for you on a corner.
That comes from the kibbutz abayim.
Okay. So I'm saying, I don't think there could be one answer to this. And again, without being too philosophical about it, it's the Ramban's point. I think that God expects us to be grown-ups and to be able to exercise a certain amount of judgment within the context of what the Torah wants of us. The Torah wants us to keep our word. Okay, the Torah also understands that human beings are human beings and flat tires make a difference. And, you know, I can't reach him, but it's snowing out and it's dangerous. These are things that exist in our lives.
But then he referred to him, someone says, you know, we have this contract, but, you know, they didn't do exactly.
No, but you
know. It's okay to get out of it. They somehow feel, you know,
that's what happens.
Yeah, no one's evil in this context.
That's the difference, but that's what's sad about it. That's the difference between people who do business on a handshake. Okay. There's no way out. We agreed to do the deal. We agreed to do the deal. That's the difference between, and this I know sadly from my own life, that's the difference between, okay, let's get the lawyers in it. The lawyers are fighting for a month over a 100-page document. The answer is, yeah, if you got it wrong in the document, because the contract stands for basically the proposition that we don't trust each other.
Right.
So anything that's in here, so the contract doesn't cover this contingency.
Right.
Yeah, I could walk away.
But if you
it's
go
true.
Home, if you shake hands with your neighbor, sell your car, and you're really going to do it, you go home, your wife says, "No, you're not. I like that car. You're
you
not
selling
it." No, that's it. It's over.
Right.
All the news. I know we shook, and I know we.
I don't think
I would have done it, but
I don't know.
My wife said, no,
"I don't know."
You understand, don't you?
That's a real failing on your part.
Yeah.
No, you gave the guy your word.
You have this conflicting value.
It's not conflicting value.
You should have asked her.
You have to be a grown up.
What's more important is wife or the car.
Yes, you have to decide. Should I keep my word to the neighbor?
So you know what? Good. So you go to the neighbor. Listen, here's $1,000. because $1,000 is worth it for me to keep my wife happy. I gave you my word. Yeah. I gave you my word. Well, I have to keep the car. Now I'm gonna but $1,100
Shmuel is not chal unless you have the permission of your wife.
Well, no, that answers you have to have some compensation.
Okay, now Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Here we go. Here's the Mechaber in Simon Reish Gimel of Yoredeah. First thing he says, interesting. Doesn't even read like a halacha. Al ti ragil binidarim. Mm-hmm. It's good advice.
Good for you, yes.
Don't be a person. Now, again, he doesn't say mutter. He doesn't say. He just says al ti ragil binidarim. It's not like a value statement.
Yeah.
Next, kol hanoder afal pisha mekaimo nikra rasha v'nikra chote. So, not first of all. You know, it's a funny thing. It's so strong, you don't even notice how strong it is.
How strong is it?
Well, right. It's not enough to call me a Rasha.
Russia,
wait, it's not enough. You couldn't stop there.
Because you
Vinikra Chote. Being a Rasha, I would have thought being a Rasha is bad enough. Right? Now, and this is, by the way, this is when you keep it. This is not when you violated your vow. This is when you keep it. The whole thing doesn't make sense because it's al tehi ragil bindarim. Say asur lindor, but you can't say that because the Torah tells you about nidarim. Mm-hmm. So this is much more in the way of advice than it is in the way, you know, what is it to become a nazir? 20 psukim in the Torah. What's it become? It's to take a nadir. So you can't write it out of the Torah, but you could tell me, don't do it. I'm telling you, like, don't do it. I'm the mechaber. Take my word for it.
Yibum, they wrote it.
Don't. They didn't stop. A little knowledge is dangerous. You heard of chalitza? It's in the book. Chalitza's
okay,
in the book.
Chalitza, but Yibum is preference, Rabbi.
Stop. Okay. Seif Beis. Okay. Here's another, like, they don't even read like halachos. They're all gemaras, by the way, but they're gemaras that the mechaber brings. Icher Adam Nidro. You said you'd do something within 30 days and you didn't. Pinkaso niftachat. You know what that means?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Sefer Achaim.
It doesn't have to be the Sefer Achaim, but you know, the book of credits and debits that God keeps track of?
There's only one book.
Your ledger.
Your ledger. Okay.
You can call it what you want.
Okay, sorry. He's going to take a closer look. Now, this. To me, this is a loaded sentence, and it's fascinating. To me, I'll tell you what I think it means, and I'm not sure. It means you took a neder. It means that you brought, you know, you used either you used God's name specifically, or you used God-like terms to do the neder. I feel like what this means is you now brought God into the picture, and God says, "Listen, you brought me into the picture. I'm gonna take a closer look. You know, now you got me interested. You thought it was important enough." That I get involved, fine. I'm going to see exactly, you know, what's going on in your life.
You CC the email to someone in your relationship.
In a way, you got somebody else involved, and the guy says, "Okay, I'm going to get involved." You know, you want the Justice Department to help you. Yes, well, maybe they'll look at your emails one day, and it'll backfire. Now, I want to read more. I couldn't do all of it. Sif Hay, because I didn't bring all of it. Look at Sif Hay. Be'et Sara Mutar Lindor.
Well, he's backtracking a little bit from Olive, no? I mean, now.
But was it doesn't come under the heat of the moment.
Huh?
Doesn't that come under the heat of the moment?
Be'et Sara.
Be'et Sara Mutar Lindor. I'll open it up to. Obviously, it's not a stira. It's all in the same sema. He knew what he wrote. He didn't forget what he wrote two seconds ago.
Right.
So the question is, how do we make sense of this so far? It's clear that he doesn't want it. And, you know, you're getting God involved and you open yourself up to problems. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Be'et Sara is mutar. So what I would say is, yeah, because Be'et Sara, that's when you're calling on God anyway. You know, when God, your father's on the operating table and you're taking a nether and you're begging, that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe it has to do with the difference between taking a nether over tomatoes or something silly, taking a nether over something serious. I think the context of Be'et Sara means either put it in religious terms or put it in significant terms of your life. This is really important. You know, if I don't find work tomorrow, I have no money, my kids, this is significant. And significant things is not only is it not embarrassing. See, it's not embarrassing to get God involved. It's appropriate to get God involved, right? Maybe it's inappropriate to get God involved in your nether about brownies, because you could argue that weight is health or what have you. But it seems pretty trivial in the context of things, or it seems like the kind of thing that you should be able to do on your own. But now you're talking about life and death. You're talking about, you know, the most significant issues in your life. And I think the point is, you're not supposed to exclude God from those issues. And it's different. Like, if you went to the World Series, okay, and the guy sitting next to you said, I swear to God, you know, if you just help the Cubs win, I will. You go, it feels funny. But if you're in the emergency room in the hospital and you hear the person say, I swear to God, you know, if you'll just help my wife pull through the surgery, I will.
So that's an example of it. That's all right.
I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Okay.
That there are not the kind of things you just pull out in the ordinary course of your day to help you become a better person.
But he still says, "Kol hanoder mikarosh."
Okay, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It may never get better. Siman sivav haomer eshne perek zeh. The guy says, "I will learn. You know, I'm going to make a siyum on makos." V'yarei shema yitrashel b'davar. But he's worried because he's had these goals before and he hasn't fulfilled them. Shari le limindar lizruze nafshe. It is permissible for him to take a neder in order to help him achieve the result. V'chein im yare sheyit kafu yitzro v'ya'avor al eza mitzvah mi mitzvot lo ta'aseh. You know that you're particularly weak with respect to lashon hara. You know that. And you're worried that you can't control yourself. Oh, yitrashel mikiyum mitzvah taseh, or you're bad at a particular mitzvah. You don't give tzedakah as regularly as you should. Here it's even worse. Mitzvah li shava v'lindor kidei lezarez atzmo. Here he used the word mitzvah. Not that it's mutter, but it's a mitzvah to swear or to take a vow in order to achieve, you know, an appropriate religious result.
So your example of davening three times a day in a minyan?
I don't know. Could be.
He's saying it's a positive thing. Take it.
Right. It's not a mitzvah, but yeah, I agree. We'll do one more. Siv Zayin. This is all in the same siman. Misha nadar nidarim kidei lichonen deotavu l'takein ma'asav. You took a vow in order to make yourself a better person. Okay? You took a vow not to use the internet for a week. Why? Because the internet is a source of bad influences or just wasting time. Lashem, you want to be a better person, you know. You, during Aser Semei Tshuva, you say, you know, I'm not going to go on the internet.
It's a relative between term, as far as your government is. It changes person to person.
Of course. I'm just trying to give you an example.
Yeah,
of course. This is obviously personal, because he says, "Kidei lechonen deotav lo takein ma'asav." You know your weaknesses. You know what you need help with. Harei ze zarizu mishubach. That's a good person, he says. You're praiseworthy for doing that. Ketzad. Here it comes. We'll have examples. Misha haya zolel. He's a glutton. Va'asar alav habasar shana o shnatayim. Okay? He's the guy who sits around, you know, eating meat. By the way, eating meat is mutter. But eating meat to excess is problematic. So he takes a shvua. He takes a neder. Oh, shahayash shoge b'yayin. Maybe he's an alcoholic, or maybe he just drinks too much. It's hard to know exactly. Va'asar hayayin alatzmo zman meruba. He takes a neder. Right? Now, again, the interesting halachic discussion is, can you do that? What about Kiddush? You know, Yantar? There's a whole discussion. But here he doesn't relate to that. He just says, oh, asar hashichrut la'olam. Or he says, I take a neder, I will never again become drunk. Never. Okay? V'chein. Mi shehaya rodev shalmonim v'nivhal lahon. A person who's basically addicted to the accumulation of wealth. You know, he's after money all the time. Va'asar al atzmo hamatanot o hanayat anshe medina zo. And basically, he says to himself, you know what, I got to stop this already. He basically takes a neder, he'll no longer accept something for nothing. all his life, all he ever wanted was to get free t-shirts and to get people to give him gifts and what have you. And now he takes a neder, he's not going to accept any of that. He goes on, v'chein mi, you know, I ask myself, why does he need 100 examples? I think because it's easy to come up with examples than a rule. V'chein, mi sha'ya mitka'e biyofyo. Okay, a person who knows that he is completely taken with how beautiful he is. Okay? Vinadar bin Nazir. That's really the primary way you're supposed to be a Nazir. You know, you love your hair. So therefore you become a Nazir. You're not going to take care of your hair. You're going to let it grow wild. Mm-hmm. I have a friend, by the way, it's a true story. He's a lovely guy. I don't know why it is he told me this. I think because I once saw a picture of him, like he had long hair, he was younger, then he was bald. And he said to me, he thinks that because he loved his hair so much and he spent so much time on his hair that, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but you know.
Genetic, but it's cute.
Okay. Kulam derech avodah l'shem Hashem, l'shem heim. Here's the rule. To the extent there's a rule, in the third line from the bottom, five words. Kulam derech avodah l'shem heim. He says, why are all these things fine? Because they are all forms of worship of God. That seems to be the rule.
Right.
The rule is, if you ask yourself, did I make this neder or shua in the service of God, then it's good. V'hanidarim eilu ukiyotze behem amru chachamim nidarim siag leprishut. About these types of nidarim, they said that nidarim are a way to get you to be separate, to be religious. V'af al pi shehem avodah. And even though we said that they're worship of God, nevertheless, lo yarbe adam minidre isur, v'lo yargil atzmo bahem. Be careful. He says, don't get addicted to nedarim. Ela yifrosh midvayim shiroi lifrosh mehem b'lo neder. To the extent we've come out with anything, we've come out with the following. That nedarim in the service of God, in limited form, in limited fashion, occasionally are acceptable and maybe even praiseworthy, but probably it's best to try it without a nether. I just remind myself, and I'll just finish with this. There's a great tshuva in the Igros Moshe, where Rav David Feinstein or Rav Reuven Feinstein, I forget which one, he has two sons of Moshe. When the one of them, I think it was Rav Reuven, you could tell from the, you know, in Rav Moshe they don't publish the question, it's just the answer, but you could tell from the answer what the question was. Clearly the question was, I'm turning 20, I want advice to become more religious. Mm-hmm. Okay? And 10 times in the answer, now why Rav Moshe wrote him a letter and didn't just talk to him over dinner, I don't know. But he told him, don't take nedarim. It's clear that his son had said, you know, should I take a neder to do this? Should I accept upon myself fast? And Ramosha kept telling him, do all these things, but not in the form of a neder and not in the form of a fast. Right? I think we're supposed to be, you know, nedarim are like, I don't want to say nuclear weapons in religion, but they're really serious. And I think to the extent we've come out with anything, it's that there's a value there, but it's really, really limited. And if you do it too often, you're being mezalzel in it. And last thing, just because I can't resist, at the end of the tshuva, where Moshe gives it like little advice after the whole thing, he says, most important thing, be respectful of other. You want to be a Talmid Chacham, you want to be a good person?
Wow.
And he says, he has a little insight. He says, you know, the problem is that men don't respect their mothers because their mothers spend all their time with them. When the father just comes home from work, you know, occasionally.
My wife always says.
And he says more, and it's interesting because it's his wife, you know, and he knows who it is. He says, and even if your mother is mavater, even if your mother tells you don't have to,
do it anyway.
You have to do it.
Good.
That's the end.
Is anyone?